Hello, I'm Kyle Willoughby, and joining me is Claire White.
Hello.
And this is Dragons, Sexy Robots, and Adventures, a Nerd Manual. We're discussing new nerd creations, how they were made, and exploring the roots of the characters and the stories. Today we have more of a somber episode.
We're in mourning.
We are in mourning for our show that we both love, Agent Carter. This is somewhat old news. This was canceled in May of this year.
We wanted to commemorate it in some way.
We wanted to commemorate it in some way because we both really liked the show. It ran for two seasons on ABC. And it's Agent Carter, of course, affiliated with Captain America and the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe. The first season aired on January 6th of 2015. And they had a second season that aired this past winter and unfortunately was not picked up for a third, even though they ended on a cliffhanger.
Jerks.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm holding out hope. Claire has hinted to me, she researched production for this, and she has hinted that there may be hope for a third season. I'm doing the history of Agent Carter, where she came from in the comics. So, we'll start with my history. Hope will come later. And maybe cross your fingers. Everyone listening, cross your fingers. Agent Carter, season 3. It could happen. But for now, a history of Agent Carter in comics.
I'm very excited.
It's interesting. All right, so Agent Carter in the comic books is vastly, vastly different than the Agent Carter from the show and from the first Captain America movie, which is where she kind of showed up first.
And what most people today know her as.
Yeah, what most people today know her as. I don't think there are many, even among comic book nerds, I don't think there are that many people who know that much about Agent Carter. She's not a major character in the comics.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, so first of all, the only thing that Agent Carter from the comics and Agent Carter from the show have in common, there's three big things. They have the same name.
Okay.
Peggy Carter. They were both love interests of Captain America.
That is a big one.
That's a big one. And they both had something to do with World War II.
That's it?
Pretty much. I guess they both became agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
So four things.
Four things. Sorry, excuse me. I'm counting. Never my strong suit. But yeah, they're really vastly different. Agent Carter from the comic books is American. She's from a wealthy Virginian family.
Right. And in the TV show, she's definitely British.
She's English. She's British, yeah. She's played by Hayley Atwell, a British actress. So Agent Carter was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
The usual suspects,
yeah. Whenever you think of anything comics, there's like a
40... Especially Marvel Comics.
Especially. If it's Marvel Comics, it's like 80% chance it was created by Stan Lee or Jack Kirby. If it's comics in general, there's like a 40% chance it's created by Stan Lee or Jack Kirby. She appears first in a Captain America comic. It's called Tales of Suspense, number 75. And this was in 1966. And what the Tales of Suspense
Captain
comics...
Captain America started in the 40s, right?
Captain America started in the 40s, but if anyone listened to our Civil War episode, Captain America started in the 40s, went a little bit into the 50s, was canceled, and then was brought back in the 60s. And when they brought him back in the 60s is when they did the whole he was frozen in ice thing. He crashed in the North Atlantic, and we just found him and unearthed him. So you know how they did that in the movie?
Right.
And he was, like, unfrozen in nowadays times. Well, they did that in the 60s. So it was, like, less of a drastic jump, I guess.
2000s, it was the 60s.
It was from the 40s to 60s. Still drastic.
That's pretty
but not
drastic.
Quite the same. So she first appeared in Captain America number 75, and he used to split a comic book with Iron Man. It'd be half Iron Man, half Captain America. And this is number 75, and she is not named in the comic, and it's in a flashback. What happens is Captain America sees a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who looks like his old love from France when he was fighting in World War II in France. And remember, he's been unfrozen, and he's now running around America in the 60s right now. So he sees this woman who looks so much like his old love from France, and he reminisces back to this American woman who was fighting with the French resistance that he was helping, that he loved. So she appeared in number 75 and then again in number 77, once again in a Captain America flashback, thinking about his old love. And which is weird because the Captain America comics in the 40s, he had a girlfriend back in the States.
Okay.
They don't mention any.
This is like his French fling?
I guess, his lady on the side.
Oh, that's not very Captain America, is it?
Not very America. Or maybe it is America.
Oh, gosh.
Not very American of him. Maybe it is kind of American. His European lady, who was, I mean, albeit she wasn't even European, she was just in Europe. also American.
Well, I guess that was truly American of yeah. You go to Europe and you find the American.
You find the one American girl. And so, of course, the woman that he saw that looked so much like his old love that caused him to go into these flashbacks was Sharon Carter.
Oh.
Who is a love interest of Captain America and girlfriend, like, for a lot of the comics.
Right.
And she's actually in the movies played by Emily Van Camp.
Okay, and she in the movies is Peggy Carter's niece.
In the movie, she's Peggy Carter's niece, and that eventually happened in comic books, but... In the original comic, she was Peggy Carter's younger sister.
Whoa.
And Captain America doesn't know that this is Peggy, his old love's younger sister, because he never knew his old love's name. He never knew that French girl's name.
American French girl.
American French girl, you're right, for fighting in the French Resistance. But yeah. So what takes place in these flashbacks, Cap remembering fighting with the French Resistance with her. Her French Resistance unit gets captured by the Nazis. He goes to save them. While beating up Nazis, there's an explosion. He thinks that she died and is sad, but, you know, but still, actually, still, he's sad, but he still, like, goes off and revels with, like, oh, France is being liberated. She didn't die in this explosion, his unnamed American-French love interest. She just hit her head and got amnesia and was shipped back to America.
As you do.
As you do. Amnesia. I feel like amnesia is, like, a little... I think it's a little lazy storytelling, but we'll get into that later. So, yeah, he remembers that in the flashback and like, oh, she died or whatever. But and now he's dating Sharon Carter, the younger sister, not knowing that that's the little sister.
He just has a type.
Love. He just has a type. He likes blondes. So in Captain America number 161, which came out in May 1973, is the big reveal where you find out, oh, Sharon Carter is the little sister of Captain America's original love, Peggy Carter.
And she didn't know.
Sharon Carter did know.
Oh.
She kept it a secret. She said, logically, I just thought it made sense not to tell you so that you wouldn't get all upset. And her sister, Peggy, who had been hit her head and was in amnesia, was kind of like a walking vegetable.
Okay.
She kind of knew what was going on, but was still kind of... It's hazy. It's vague. It's like they couldn't... The doctor said they couldn't tell her when they found out that Captain America was still alive when he was unfrozen. They couldn't tell her that he was still alive because the shock would have been too much for her. And they say she would have just, her mind would have just gone completely.
Her poor little woman's mind.
Her poor little woman's mind would have just crumbled. But at the same time, when Captain America does reveal himself to her, she's fine, he's fine, but she can't remember the past 20 years.
What do doctors know?
I don't know. It's confusing. So Peggy Carter was captured by Dr. Faustus, and Captain America goes and saves her, and they meet each other, and Peggy Carter snaps out of being a vegetable, and she's like, oh, Captain America, like, it's been so long, I knew you
were still
alive.
Is that how he reveals himself to her? Or is that how Captain reveals himself to her?
Yeah, he saves her from Faustus.
So Dr. really, Faustus. The doctor was wrong. She just needed Captain America to save her.
To save her, which is, I feel like classic superhero comics in the 70s. So, because Peggy doesn't remember the past 20 years, they're like, we need to ease her back into life, and we think one of the ways that would make it easier for her to adjust to life is if you, Captain America, even though you're dating her little sister, pretend you're still in love with her, and you guys can be like a couple. Just pretend, just for a little while, just till she gets adjusted, and then you can let her down easy.
Whoa. So he does it?
And he does. He's like, okay. And Sharon Carter, the little sister, is like, I don't like it, but I understand. It's what we have to do.
Because he's Captain America?
I don't know. It's like, it turns into such a soap opera. You'll see there are like panels of Captain America and Sharon Carter like stealing kisses in a room. And then they're like, oh, I hear someone's coming. Let go of me. And Peggy walks in and is like, what's going on, guys? And then nothing.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
It's really bad. I love the MCU and I love a lot of Marvel comics, but this was not one of the better ones. So this is going on. Captain America is secretly dating Peggy's sister while trying to maintain this fake relationship with Peggy. Captain America eventually has to go off and fight, do superhero things, and he tells Peggy, like, look, I gotta go, and she's like, let me come with you, we used to fight Nazis together, let's fight supervillains together, and Captain America's like, no, it's too dangerous, the Nazis were like children compared to the goofy-ass supervillains that I fight now in these late or early 70s Captain America comics. So Captain goes off. Peggy's not satisfied, was like, look, I want to fight. I got to do something. So she goes to join S.H.I.E.L.D. And Captain America finds out and is like, she can't join S.H.I.E.L.D. It's too dangerous. And goes to Nick Fury, the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D., and is like, look, don't let Peggy Carter join S.H.I.E.L.D., all right? Just, you shouldn't do it. Let her down easy. That's what he keeps saying. Let her. And Nick Fury's like, look, no, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to do what S.H.I.E.L.D.'s got to do. And at that time in the comics, Captain America and S.H.I.E.L.D. were not on great terms anyway.
Okay. So it wasn't Sharon Carter in S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway.
Sharon Carter was in S.H.I.E.L.D. She was an agent in S.H.I.E.L.D. Although looking at these at the panels in this comic or in these comics, she just seems she doesn't seem like a badass S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yeah, she's just there.
She's just like kind of there on the sideline. Also, when Peggy disappears to join S.H.I.E.L.D., she calls Captain America. She's like, Peggy's gone. I don't know what to do. It's like, lady, you're a secret agent. You do know what to do.
We hope you do.
So Peggy joins S.H.I.E.L.D. eventually and is partnered up with a guy named Gabriel Jones, who is important to her later in life. And and in the whole meantime, they still have this secret relationship where Captain pretends to be with Peggy while actually being with her sister Sharon. So also at this point in the comics, Captain America was getting bad PR. Like, the people didn't like him, so he's thinking about retiring. And he decides he's going to retire because Sharon Carter knows his secret identity. Sharon Carter knows that Steve Rogers is Captain America. And they can be together as Sharon and Steve. Peggy doesn't know Captain America's secret identity. So how were they even dating before? I don't know that. I don't know how that works. They were always like intimate moments in his Captain America mask.
Maybe she just wanted the hero.
Maybe.
The prince. Maybe the hero that's prince. What it was. I don't know.
But instead of like breaking up with Peggy when he does this, he just stops being Captain America, doesn't say anything.
He ghosts?
He ghosts her, man. It's like a bad Tinder date.
Oh, Captain America.
So eventually he does break up with her, but it's in the lamest way. He's like sitting on a fire escape as Steve Rogers, and he sees her walking home from work, from S.H.I.E.L.D. And he's like, oh, Peggy. Yeah, I guess I should break up with her, right? Because I never did that. And he like hides his face in the shadows and is like, Mademoiselle. Because that's what he called her, you know, mm-hmm. In the French resistance. And she's like, Captain America, is that you? And he's like, yeah, I think we need to break up. Or like, you know, I loved you once, but I feel like our love can't exist now. And she's sad, but she's like, oh, I'm sad, but I understand. And moves on.
That's it?
That's it.
That's like how some like comic book writer wishes his breakup went.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
I should have done it this way. Yeah. Let me write Captain America how I should have done it.
So Peggy does, she's not loveless. She ends up falling in love and having a relationship with her S.H.I.E.L.D. partner, who I mentioned earlier, Gabriel Jones.
Okay.
And Gabriel Jones is black, and it was one of the first interracial relationships in comics.
Oh, good for Peggy.
Yeah, good for Peggy. And she has no kids, which I thought was interesting.
Hmm.
Kind of by choice. You know, she's busy being a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She doesn't have time for kids.
Yeah, working woman.
There's actually a comic where Peggy and Gabe Jones get captured by the Red Skull, who's a Nazi and thinks that their love is terrible and dirty and unnatural, and tortures both of them. And Captain America and Falcon come in and rescue them and save the day.
Huh.
So Peggy originally was the older sister of Sharon Carter. Now, we mentioned that before, now Peggy is the aunt of Sharon Carter. Just because in comics, timelines get kind of messed up and ages of people get kind of messed up.
Right, as it goes on and on.
As it goes on and on and on and on. So, yeah, that's essentially... I mean, she's done more stuff in the comics. Like, her and Gabe do, like, secret infiltration of different, like, evil organizations in comics and stuff. But they're side characters. They don't have their own comic. They show up every now and again.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's a brief history of Peggy Carter in the comics.
Very different from the TV show.
Very, very different from the TV show.
Wow.
So, Claire, what can you tell us about Agent Carter, the show?
Okay. Well, the show started from Captain America, the First Avenger, the first Captain America movie. And it starts from at the end when Captain America crashes his plane and gets frozen. And
they can't find him.
They can't find him.
Yeah.
And basically, you're watching Peggy Carter's reaction. And the show creators, people at Marvel, said they were so captivated by Hayley Atwell. And it was a question of, after this, what happened
next?
Yeah,
what happens to Peggy?
And then you see her again in The Winter Soldier 70 years later. And an awful lot can happen in that time.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Yeah.
Marvel made this thing called a Marvel one-shot called Agent Carter. And these are these short films that they make to be self-contained stories. They go direct to video. Okay. And it's a way for Marvel to experiment with characters and ideas to expand the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU, they call it. This was first shown at the 2013 San Diego Comic-Con. And then it was released with Iron Man 3, the video,
the DVD. Yeah.
The DVD.
Or Blu-ray, whatever.
Right, which was coming out right before Winter Soldier was coming out.
Okay.
And it was really well received. And you can actually watch it on YouTube. You can just type in Marvel One-Shot Agent Carter. It's only 13 minutes long, and it's really good and really fun.
It's got the Howling Commandos in it, right? Actually, I found out about it during this research, and I didn't get a chance to watch it.
No, it doesn't have the Howling Commandos.
Oh, I thought it would.
No, it's just Peggy Carter. After the war.
After
and
what Steve
she, and she's
goes.
Working for the government. She's working the job that she was working before. And now that everyone's back from the war, how does she as a woman fit in?
Yeah.
It's really good. And in 13 minutes, they do a lot. So this was very well received. And they decided, let's make a show. It was created by the people who are the screenwriters for the Captain America Civil War. Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely.
Okay, they just created it. They didn't do much of the writing.
No, the writers, the showrunners are Tara Butters and Michelle Fazekas. And Marvel, they take a lot of pride in this and they talk a lot about it. They're very careful about who they have working on their shows. And they say that they will wait until they find the right talent. They'll have the idea and then they'll wait for the right person to come along.
Yeah. Or someone into a project that isn't good for them.
Right. I remember with the Civil War research, when I was doing that, they would talk about finding the right fit for
each movie,
show,
whatever.
And how they click with them. Jeff Loeb, who we've talked about before, is the head of Marvel TV.
Wrote for Daredevil back in the day.
Yeah. So he has worked on Smallville, Lost, Buffy, Heroes. He has some serious nerd cred. He said working on those shows, he actually learned a lot about the people who had a clear vision. Like, if there was a show with someone in charge who had a clear vision, those shows went really well, lasted for a long time.
Always well received.
Yeah, and those that didn't, you could tell. So it's something that he is very particular about when he
hires people.
Yeah, and I think from the few Marvel shows that I've seen, you can tell. Like, they do really try to put out quality.
I didn't love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I should stick with it because I hear the second season got really good, but yeah.
I've heard really good things about it. Again, I started watching it.
Yeah.
Didn't hook me.
But I think it kind of...
You keep on hearing better and better things about it. And then also, he said, and this is not news for Marvel, we've talked about it in our previous podcast, Marvel helps a lot with the shows. They basically partner with the showrunner. They're not the execs. They produce, they're in the writer's room, they're helping throughout the whole process. So Marvel,
which is great.
I'm sure sometimes it is,
sometimes it isn't,
but they're very involved.
Yeah.
And also, Agent Carter is the only project where Marvel TV and Marvel Films are working together. Normally, they're two separate divisions.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Luis Díaz-Pizito, who is the co-president of Marvel, is one of the producers on Agent Carter. And it's probably because it was born out of an idea from the films.
From the movie, yeah.
Yeah. And I think they all really, from interviews, they just seem to be very passionate about this project. And
yeah, Hayley Atwell in interviews is really passionate. She plays Agent Carter.
Yeah, and they love Hayley Atwell. Yeah. I mean, again, their interviews, and obviously they're talking up their product.
This is true.
But it seems genuine. And it makes me excited because I love the show too. When the TV show came out, there were a lot of questions about why are you making a TV show about this character?
Yeah, she's so peripheral.
Yeah, like you said, not a big character in the comics, not a character most people had heard of before the Captain America movie. And Jeff Loeb said that it was actually easier to take a character where they already had established the background for her.
Yeah, she had a whole movie.
Exactly. Well, kind of. It wasn't her movie.
But yeah.
And throw her into a plot. And they didn't need to do any explaining or anything.
Yeah.
She could just be. Also, it gave Marvel an opportunity to tell the origins of SHIELD, which stands for Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
It's a good thing that has a cool acronym like SHIELD.
Seriously. And they're basically like the super spies who work a lot with
superheroes, supervillains, and security.
Right. And they say, Jeff Loeb says, when they're making TV shows right now, they're not making TV shows just for America anymore. They're making TV shows for the world, which is true. People all over the world watch American TV.
Yeah.
And
it's one of our biggest exports.
And yes. And they're trying to make shows that everyone can relate to. And they think that the concept of a woman's role in the workplace and how she's perceived and how men deal with her is actually a global concept.
I agree with that.
I agree with that, too. And they also say that they try and make shows that are best for the character, not necessarily shows that are thinking, what will our fans want? They try and make shows centered around the character, which I think this show does a really good job of. They also say that Peggy Carter's superpower is that people underestimate her, which
true.
I really
like. That's a huge part of the first season.
Yeah. It's a huge part of both seasons.
Yeah.
Like, she's always...
True. Kind of, yeah, they treat like, what's she gonna
silly
do?
Woman.
Yeah, silly woman. Go get the coffee.
Yes, and she does so much more.
And she does so much more.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about ABC and Marvel, because while they are both divisions of Disney, they're actually pretty separate. Marvel has stated they actually don't have any power over what shows get picked up by any of the networks. It's kind of like they have these ideas for these shows, and then the networks are like, that sounds cool. We'll do that.
Or we won't do that. That
oh, yeah,
cool.
Exactly. And they don't get to decide how many episodes. It's kind of all up to the network.
Okay.
So ABC had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that was a show that was supposed to be every week. But apparently it's very hard to make a show for every week for 22 weeks because it takes about 2 weeks to film an episode.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
for something as crazy as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, it's harder.
Yeah, might take a little longer.
So they kind of worked it out with ABC where they could then have... a hiatus from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the winter, and they could insert Agent Carter for 10 weeks and then put S.H.I.E.L.D. back in. So it would be 10 weeks of S.H.I.E.L.D., 10 weeks of Agent Carter, and then another 10 weeks of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which is a good idea because Agent Carter is almost telling this kind of the roots of S.H.I.E.L.D., where S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly.
How that was founded. So it works to go hand-in-hand with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like that.
Right. And then on the same note, I think if it was up to Marvel, they would still be working on Agent Carter. But it's actually ABC that decided to cancel Agent Carter because the ratings, they weren't good. The second season premiered, I think it was 3.3 million viewers, which was half of what the first season had premiered with. And it just kept on going down from there. But to my next point, ABC did a really horrible job promoting season two.
I didn't even know when season two came out.
No, and I wanted to know.
Yeah, same.
And we live in New York City, and when any TV show comes out, there's just billboards plastered
everywhere.
You don't have to watch TV to know what's coming up on TV. And I didn't see any of that. They also changed the premiere date at the last minute, so people just didn't know. And they didn't make the first season available for streaming until a few days before season two premiered. So even if you wanted to get caught up, You couldn't.
Yeah. It's in doing research for this, trying to rewatch Agent Carter, it's almost impossible now.
Unless you want to buy it.
Unless you want to buy it.
Yeah. But here's the good news. So it did get canceled.
Yeah.
But Hayley Atwell is still going to Comic-Cons. She's still very active. And she has confirmed that everyone, including people at Marvel, are trying to find Agent Carter a new home. Netflix is the logical place for this to go because they already have a relationship with Marvel.
Yeah, doing Jessica Jones and
Daredevil. And Luke Cage.
I feel like whenever a show gets canceled or people want Netflix, save this show. They're like...
And they do.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Arrested Development, Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls, yeah.
Netflix will save your show. So we don't know what's going on with that. Netflix is quote-unquote an option. And actually, when the show got canceled, there was a huge fan reaction. They created a change.org petitions with the hashtag Save Agent Carter.
Yeah.
So people do want to see the show.
I saw an interview with her, or I read an interview with her, rather, where she was talking about how she would happily do Agent Carter, even though she's been cast in another ABC show called Conviction, and that it would be like hell time-wise because she's jumped between two shows, but she loves Agent Carter so much that she'd totally do it.
Agent Carter's the TV Agent Carter, the MCU Agent Carter is such a good character.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So you like the show, Kyle?
Yeah, I think this is a good time to get into opinions. And yes, I loved this show.
Yeah.
I thought it was so great. And you liked it, of course, too.
Yeah. I obviously have seen a lot of Marvel TV, a lot of DC's TV and movies. And this is my favorite comic book show. Hands down. TV, movie, anything.
Yeah.
This is my favorite on-screen
comic book representation.
Yeah. So good.
Of a character. Yeah. She is my favorite of all the ladies in the Marvel Universe. It's either her or Jessica Jones. MCU, rather. Like the cinematic and TV universe.
They are the most fleshed out characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was also a big thing that when this show got canceled, they were losing one of their like shows that was with the female character at the helm, written by female writers. It was just that and Jessica Jones, and now they've lost one of them.
Yeah, and now it's just Jessica Jones, I guess.
Yeah, I like Jessica Jones, but she's a mess.
She is a bit of a mess.
And Peggy Carter isn't really a mess.
No. Peggy Carter, and I like, you know, I like them both for their own things. Jessica Jones is a mess. Peggy Carter, put together, they're both like powerful, strong women. But one is, their strengths are in different areas.
Right.
I think one thing we like to talk about in the opinion section is, you know, how did the production and the final product of this measure up to the canon and the comics? And I think when you look at if Peggy Carter, the show, is that similar to the comic book canon, no, not really. But it's leagues better than the comic book canon.
Sounds like it is. I didn't do the comic book research that you did.
It was like, I don't know. Captain America kind of came off to like my modern, you know, 2000s millennial brain is kind of a misogynistic douche.
Yeah.
He's like, no, Peggy, you can't go find fulfillment in a job, even though you did, you know, you fought Nazis. You can't do that. It's too dangerous. Stay home.
I mean, you could say that that's what the show is dealing with now, is Peggy finding her place in the workplace after World War II when all the men have come home and they don't, quote-unquote, need her.
Exactly, and that's one of the things I loved about this show is it struck on something that, like, you might hear mentioned in a history book, like, oh, all the women took over jobs during World War II, and when the men came back, they had to go back to the, you know, being the housewife or whatever. And how much that sucked. Like, I feel like you don't talk about that enough in out in life, that sucked for those women where they're like, oh, I have a job, I have freedom. This is really cool. War's over. You should go back home. What are you doing
here? We're going to hire a man over you.
If you're going to work here, you're going to get us bagels.
Right. Just bagels.
Just bagels. What, donuts, whatever.
We were talking earlier about how Marvel makes shows that are good for the character, not necessarily what the fans want. And I actually think that was part of the problem with this show, because they made the show for Peggy Carter, you know, based on her experiences, but they also inserted it into the S.H.I.E.L.D. time slot. And I don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D., and I don't know a whole bunch about it, but I think it's not the kind of, like, fight bad guys, beat them up the way... It's not the same show as S.H.I.E.L.D. So fans who love Marvel love the S.H.I.E.L.D. show probably aren't...
Maybe not as jazzed with Agent Carter.
It's not made for them, whereas I feel like... Had it been marketed a little bit differently, it might have actually gotten more of an audience, because I have a lot of girlfriends who aren't into comic books at all.
Yeah.
They haven't seen any of the Marvel movies, or maybe they've seen Avengers or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's not their thing. But I think they would really like this show.
Yeah.
But they don't know about it. Or if they do know about it, it's a comic book show. If you like Mad Men, you would probably like this show, because it's not just about kicking butt. It's about a woman trying to make her way in the workplace in the 1940s.
Yeah.
And there 50s, is some 50s. Butt kicking, and it's great.
Yeah.
But it's not the centerpiece of the show.
I'm a big fan of like relationships and shows and like buddy combos. Like if you watch Game of Thrones, I loved Arya and the Hound wandering around Westeros together. I love Tyrion and Varys doing their little buddy thing together. I love Jarvis.
Who is
and Peggy Carter,
the butler?
Who's the butler
to Howard Stark?
Howard Stark,
who is Tony Stark, Iron Man's father, who's a very rich guy.
But they end up kind of being buddies together, like going on the adventures together, and they're just great together. And Jarvis plays the role of kind of like the straight man almost, like, what are you doing? You know, like outraged. And there's a moment in that show where Peggy's just kicks some ass and she's got her leg cut up. And Jarvis is going to stitch her up because he apparently he's good with needles. And she's just kind of leaning back on a couch or this chair, looking like Bruce Willis after a gunfight. And, you know, and how Bruce Willis's like lady or whatever in whatever movie he's in would be like stitching him up or like, are you okay? Except it's her and it's Jarvis. And there's not a sexual thing between them. They don't have the hots for each other. But it was just cool to see Agent Carter, Peggy Carter, leaning back like, you know, after a tough fight. And this kind of dainty man who's good with the sewing needle just like knitting her up. And it's like, Jarvis isn't going to do the fighting because he's a man. Because he doesn't know how to fight, you know?
Right. Peggy Carter knows how to fight.
Peggy Carter knows how to get her stuff done.
Yeah. And she's the smartest in the room.
Yeah.
It's so great. And I keep on going back to this and how badly it was marketed. But also for people who want to watch it after this podcast, I'm sorry. You're going to have to buy it.
Yeah, it's damn near impossible.
I think you can buy it on Amazon and you can buy it on iTunes.
Yeah.
But it's this other thing where they didn't put it on Netflix. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on Netflix. I don't know why Agent Carter is not on Netflix.
Me neither.
So you couldn't catch up on it. You couldn't discover it in the year in between season one and season two and be like, oh, I'm really excited about this. Yeah. They couldn't recommend it for people who liked Mad Men.
Yeah. And that's like an old network TV thing, too. They were like, in this day and age, not everyone can watch the shows when they're coming out. That's why Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, like, you can find your stuff, your shows you want to watch there almost at any time of day.
Right. And you can also discover things there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're a little spoiled in that growing up in this day and age where like so much good TV is easily accessible any time of day.
Well, it's upsetting when it's not.
When
and
it's
if it's not, you have to compete with everything else that is.
I've grown accustomed to a certain lifestyle.
But I think that's a legit point.
No, it's I agree. It's a totally legit point. I feel like it kind of killed a wonderful show, and I hope to goodness that it can come back.
Please, please bring it back.
Because the second season even ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah. So, Agent Carter, we loved it.
We loved it. A moment of silence for Agent Carter. What do you say, Claire?
I think we'll do it after the show. Yeah, and if you can access it, you should definitely watch it. And hopefully it is made available for streaming soon.
Yeah, yeah. Cross your fingers. Thank you all so much for listening. Once again, I'm Kyle Willoughby.
And I'm Claire White.
And we are Dragons, Sexy Robots, and Adventures, A Nerd Manual. Feel free to contact us on our website at dsrapodcast.com. We would love, love, love it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. That's three loves, have you heard? You can find the show on Twitter at dsrapodcast. I can be found on Twitter at klex303. That's K-L-E-X-303.
I can be found at Along With Claire. That's C-L-A-I-R-E.
And you can find our producer, James, at James Foey Jr. That's James Foey, F-O-U-H-E-Y, J-R, on Twitter. You can learn more about Agent Carter, which we love, 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 and hope will come back, on our Facebook page. Our producer is James Foey, and he shows his love through disappointment. Our logo is done by the great, the powerful, the Patty Hyland. And our theme was composed by the almost brilliant Pete Rowan. Once again, this is Dragons, Sexy Robots, and Adventures, A Nerd Manual. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.